We're in the midst of a series of lessons on the life of Christ, though we've been looking at prophetic pictures of Christ, and we continue our look at some of those Old Testament scriptures that prophesy of the coming of Christ, and the New Testament scriptures which tell us that those scriptures have been fulfilled in Christ. Recent Sunday morning's lessons have examined the Old Testament scriptures and viewed the pictures that some of the Old Testament writers painted as they told of the coming one, Jesus Christ. Moses presented the coming one as the seed of woman when he penned the words of God as he spoke to Satan there in Genesis 3:15. He spoke of the coming one as the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob. And later, as we come to the New Testament, book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 8, and chapter 3, verse 16, we find that the Apostle Paul says that that scripture was fulfilled in Christ. Remember that the promise to Abraham that was in him, all nations of the earth would be blessed, that is, in his seed. And a critical word there being a seed, singular. And Paul emphatically tells us there in the book of Galatians that that's speaking of Christ, that all nations would be blessed there in the first century in Christ. In Galatians 4:4-5, Paul also adds that the one who was to be a seed of woman had come in the fullness of time. And he speaks of that in those verses. King David, a prophet, a psalmist, and Samuel, a prophet, saw the coming one as, among other things, as one who would reign on the throne of David. We come to the New Testament in Luke, Gospel account, Luke chapter 1, 31 and 32, and we see that these prophetic pictures of a king sitting upon David's throne, and that they could see there, they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That child that was born of Mary and Joseph in the little town of Bethlehem. God spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 18, and he told Moses that God would raise up a prophet like unto him. And he went on to say that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he speaketh in my name, I'll require it of him. Deuteronomy 18, verse 19. Now that he was speaking of the coming Christ, we learn from reading Acts 3, verse 22, where Peter speaks of that same prophecy. And in that context, makes reference to Christ. In Acts chapter 7, at verse 37, Stephen is standing before Jews in a synagogue in Jerusalem. And he's been challenged as to his belief in this individual Jesus Christ. And he rises to the occasion, meets the challenge, and he also quotes from Deuteronomy 18 and says, you know, you should have known he was coming. You should have known this man was coming because he's prophesied in the Old Testament. He just didn't drop in on you here in the first century. There were snippets. There were pictures. There were indications that the Messiah was coming, the anointed one of God, and that he would be the spokesman to all mankind in these last days. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Now, Isaiah the prophet had said in Isaiah 7 and 14 that he painted a picture that had its focus upon that child. Upon a child to be born in Bethlehem, a child to be born of a virgin, he says, and that they would call his name Emmanuel. And we see clearly that Isaiah spoke of Jesus Christ when we read in Matthew 1, 21 through 23, where Matthew speaks of Jesus. One who would save his people from their sins. The word Savior meaning, or the word Jesus meaning Savior. And then he added, that all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. John had said something along this line, not in the same words, but in John chapter 1, in verse 1 and verse 14, he said, In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 of 1 John chapter 1, he says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. All of us are familiar with Isaiah's prophetic picture of the coming one in Isaiah 53. Despised and rejected of men. Stricken, smitten of God. Wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb, a sheep is dumb before its shearers. Then he opened not his mouth. Further said that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now Philip would teach an individual in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. He told to go join himself to a chariot that this man would be riding on his way back from Jerusalem and on his way to Ethiopia, where he was a treasurer. And the man was reading the Old Testament, and guess what chapter in Isaiah he was reading from? Isaiah 53. And Philip said, Do you understand what you're reading? He said, Well, how can I unless someone guide me? And it says that Philip began at the same scripture and taught unto him Jesus. So we know that Isaiah was speaking about Jesus. Now, probably Isaiah didn't know it. There's nothing to indicate that he did. Many of the Old Testament prophets didn't know that, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 in that area. This morning, I want us to continue, like I said, on these lessons of the life of Christ. And I want us to think of a question. As we look at these pictures painted by these Old Testament prophets, seed of woman, seed of Abraham, a prophet, a suffering servant, a lamb that dies for the world, has all the sins laid upon it. Well, that's what God thought of his son as he portrayed it through these prophets and their messages. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? And we're going to be studying a number of lessons after we complete these prophetic sayings from the Old Testament, these promises and their fulfillment in the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at a number of lessons on the life of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Pilate, what do you think of this man? Why, I find no fault in him at all. Judas, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And this centurion soldier standing at the cross, the foot of the cross, truly, this was the Son of God. John the Baptist, the one who was to make way for the Christ, prepare the way. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, John would say. John the Apostle, in his gospel account, he said he's the bright and morning star. Then Peter, great fisherman, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul, great missionary to the people of that day, thanks be to God. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about the angels in heaven? And today is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the Father in heaven. He looked down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. What think you of Christ? You know, what we think of others is usually what we've observed, isn't it? What we've heard, what we've seen, what we've read about, what others think of this individual. As we look at Christianity and we think about Christ and build up a background of information in our minds, we also are able to look at others who profess to be Christians, and we see Christ in their lives or not. So what we've heard through our own reading and teaching, we learn about others, and we learn the same way about Christ. We learn from the teachers of the Word, the lives that they've been living, how they profess belief, and whether they continue to show that. Our lesson today continues to examine these Old Testament scriptures in light of the New Testament fulfillment of those scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." John 5:46, just a few verses down, says, "For had you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me." But Jesus himself said, you know, just look back at the Old Testament if you want to know more about me. Don't be so surprised that I'm here, he says. Don't be so surprised that I'm teaching what I'm teaching and that God has sent me. You were told many years ago. Well, these are the words here in John 5:39 and John 5:46 that Jesus spoke to Jews who were unwilling to believe in him. They were hard-hearted. They were unwilling to believe in his miracles, that they confirmed the claims that he had made to be the Son of God. To the 11 apostles after his resurrection, Jesus reminds them of previous lessons that he had taught them. And you know how we have to be reminded, and they had to be reminded. But in Luke chapter 22, verses 44 and 45, he tells his 11 apostles, Judas not among them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." There in Luke, I want to turn there and read some additional verses. He said unto them, going on to 46 and 47, he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." So he opened up their understanding. You might say, well, he was with them 3.5 years. They didn't understand what he was saying. No, they didn't. Not fully. You remember when Mama Zebedee wanted to put one of her boys on the right hand of Jesus, one of their boys on the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. What kind of kingdom were they thinking about when it was said of Jesus that he would sit on the throne of David? They expected an earthly kingdom. They were currently under rule of the Romans, as other people that day were, and they wanted to be out from under the rule of the Romans and be in charge. And they saw him as the likely king that would do just that. That was not his purpose. And so he explains this a little bit more fully to his apostles, because they would be filled in these type questions. And they needed to have a strong faith too. These words were written to 11 men who had been with Jesus. They'd heard him teach. They'd seen him perform miracles of healing, of walking on the water, raising the dead, and they saw the way he lived his life. They saw him in pain. They saw him in agony. They saw his compassion. They saw him in death upon the cross. But now they saw him resurrected. Now they saw him resurrected. They were loyal followers. In the days and years to come, they would need the information that he gave them, the teachings. But they would be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Comforter to them, to one who would guide them to all truth and who would remind them of the things that Jesus had told them. And yet they needed to understand these Old Testament scriptures. You might say, well, if they ever needed them, the Holy Spirit could just bring it up, you know, like a concordance and just point them out to the scripture they needed to use. Well, what about their lives? That which they were to preach, which was to proceed out of their mouth, was to be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But that which they did of themselves, how they acted, how they lived on a daily basis, was not so guided to that extent. They still had power of choice. Paul had a choice of not taking John Mark with him on a missionary journey. He chose not to take him. The boy didn't, on the second missionary journey, I believe, because the boy left the first journey, the young man did. Barnabas, though, maybe would have had a little bit more patience than Paul. I don't know the situation. Paul later and John got back in a good stead with one another. But they needed to have this information. They needed to know what God's eternal purpose was. They need to have a strong faith that would enable them to preach and to teach and to boldly go about the things that they would have to do. They were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These 11 men, now they were going to get another one, 12. They were given that task. 12 individuals go into all the world, the known world, the Roman world around that area, and preach the gospel of Christ to everybody. They didn't really understand at that time that everybody included Gentiles. They would find out. Peter would. And the others would too. The Old Testament scriptures, though, are fulfilled in Christ. Jesus taught this. One occasion, his last trip to Jerusalem, he was spending some additional time with his 12 apostles. And Luke records one of those incidents and occasions in Luke 18, beginning with verse 31. Luke 18, beginning with verse 31. The last trip into Jerusalem. Toward the end of his life, a lot of things are going to be happening. Taking the 12, he said to them, "Behold, we're going up into Jerusalem, and everything that is written of the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles," or to the Romans, "and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and they will scourge and kill him, and on the third day he will rise." Now this is, of course, sometime before that week of the Passover week. That week in which he was taken in the garden and then beaten, scourged. When they scourged him back then, it's what, 39 stripes. 40 stripes save one. And they had metal on those whips that ate into the flesh. Many individuals, when beaten like that, died right then. They didn't wait for the cross. They just were killed with all of that scourging. That's the reason he needed help up the hill of Calvary. That's the reason one Simon of Cyrene had to aid him to get that cross off his back. Bleeding, flesh protruding. Be something, a spectacle you wouldn't want to really be looking at. In verse 34 of that chapter 18 of Luke tells us that at that particular time, the 12 failed to understand. So they needed that later discussion with Jesus that would help them to better understand after he was raised. Because on that occasion, Luke 18, it says they did not grasp what he said. That was a Revised Standard Version, I believe, used those words. They didn't grasp what was said. They would later. They would later. So Jesus tells us that the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in him. John the Baptist taught this also. John was the one who announced to the people the coming of Jesus. John was the cousin, 6 months older than Jesus. And he spoke of Jesus in a way that would introduce him, and he held himself in such a way, John the Baptist did, that he would not get in way of his message. You know, some people preach or teach and they get in way of the message. People put that individual talking up on a pedestal rather than the one that he's talking about, rather than the Christ of the message. It's the messenger. We never should get to that point, but John tried to shove away that notice from him. Now, the Jews of Jerusalem had heard that John was out teaching about Jesus. And they sent some Levites and they sent some priests out to question him as to who he was. And I'm sure they had particular questions, but the Bible says in John 1, 19 through 13, John chapter 1, 19 through 23, rather, that John said, well, I'm not the Christ, and I'm not Elijah, and I'm not the prophet. He then told them, though, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet said. What prophet? Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 3, Isaiah wrote those words. So John the Baptist was prophesied that he would come and that he would prepare the way for Christ. So Jesus Christ was announced. He didn't just arrive on the scene and people said, you know, where did he come from? Some may have said that, but the people are being reminded that they were given notice. Peter taught that the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. When the church was established on the first Pentecost, after the Passover in which Jesus died and was raised from the dead, Peter spoke. Others spoke. We have what Peter said recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. And within that sermon that Peter preached, a very strong sermon, a very bold sermon, Peter quotes Old Testament scriptures. What better way to teach the one who had come than to go back and talk about those who said he would be coming, especially those to whom these people looked up to. David, the psalmist, was quoted among others. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11 is quoted by Peter. Psalm 132, verse 11. That tells, David says in these Psalms, Peter says that he speaks about the resurrection of Christ. And so David, he's tying them into history. Tying this Jesus into their history. And saying David promised that the events of this day would come about. He spoke of the resurrected Christ. He used other scriptures to teach them. And to let them know that they needed to move from where they were to where they needed to be in Christ. He said that what Jesus had told him to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. They had been pricked in their heart as such that they had asked the question, what, men and brethren, what shall we do? And so he told them. Paul taught that these Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled in Christ. While in the city of Thessalonica, on one of his missionary journeys, Paul spoke to the people, to Jew and Gentile alike, in the synagogue there in Thessalonica for 3 straight Sabbaths. Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. Well, what did he teach? The Revised Standard Version says, he argued with them, or he reasoned with them from the scriptures. But what scriptures would that have been? You know, they didn't have the New Testament all bound up and, you know, where they could just turn, flip around. They had access to the Old Testament. Old Testament scripture. So he knew Old Testament scripture. And he pointed to those and said he was explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. He's the promised one. He is the anointed one. He's the one you've been looking for. And he said earlier, the wicked hands you took, you slay him. He's been slain on the cross at your hands. Paul used Old Testament scriptures to show that Christ's coming was foretold, that God had made a promise that he would come and that he had kept that promise. Many New Testament scriptures refer to Old Testament scriptures. And we can't emphasize too much the need for Old Testament study, which, I'll be frank, we've neglected over the years. Many of us have. Individually, in our studies at home, I'm sure. Sometimes a little bit more difficult reading because it's not as familiar with us. But begin in the book of Genesis and start there and make your way through. Get you some Bible helps, good Bible concordance, good Bible handbooks or dictionaries or whatever, and read it. You say, well, I've been a member of 50 years. I already know the Bible. Would you like to teach our Sunday morning class next week? If you're a lady, we'll have you teach the ladies. And if you're a man, I'll let you teach the men. No, we don't know as much sometimes with the years gone by as we think we do. And I'm not trying to be nasty there because I'm speaking of myself. Every time I go into a book in the Bible, I'm learning again, or I'm learning anew something which the Bible is teaching me, something which God wants me to do. And then you wonder, why did you waste all these years? At least I'm wondering myself. But each passing decade of our lives, we've had new experiences. New things have happened in our lives to prepare us for that particular time in our life. And that includes studying God's Word. And I probably used this illustration before, but when I was in college, you know, you go to college, you think you know pretty good a lot. Sometimes you think you know about everything. And the teacher was saying, you know, I think Brother Whitfield teaching an education course out at Lipscomb. And he said there are a lot of things you can't learn right now. I thought, man, you know, I did pretty good on that aptitude test, and I think probably if I spent enough time on it, I could learn it. And so I think I asked, or maybe some other dummy asked, well, give me an example. He said, well, you can't learn how to be a grandfather. Well, Taylor's indicated to me, you know, that I need to learn more how to be a grandfather right now. And he was right. I thought he was just making something up stupid to shut me up, you know. Get rid of Lonnie, so he won't say that again. But there are certain things you can't learn at a particular time. That's why we emphasize Bible study. You may have studied that same book 30 years ago, but I got news for you. God's got news for you. And it's in His Word. And it's in His Word. You can teach us that are older new tricks. You left the word dog out, you know, it's on purpose. You can teach us older folks new tricks. We can learn. You new young folks can smile back there if you want to. Around here, we got some young folks sprinkled, but there are things that we can do. You know, we're a small congregation, but there are things that we can do. All we can say, we're too small to do them. And then just, you think God's taking that as an excuse? No, we had 12 men. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We got more than 12 here. Now, one of these days, I'm going to get with Philip, and we're going to figure out where some of our treasury money is going. Because lately, there's not, the figures on that board have not been as big as they have been before. And I know some folks are not coming that used to come, that live out of the area, passed away. But this church is doing some good works as a group. Individually, we might want to re-examine things each year and see, you know, God is going to talk to me individually at judgment. He's not going to call up the Woodbine congregation. Oh, Woodbine congregation, come forward. Brother Philip, would you speak on behalf of these people? No. Brother Philip is going to give an answer, he and Brother Don, for these people. For these sheep, they are shepherds. If Brother Don or Brother Philip asked me to do something or you to do something, we need to seriously consider that needs to be done. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? He came to this world for a purpose, to seek and to save the lost. And in this day and time, it's the fullness of time for us, isn't it? It's the fullness of time for us. Things are tough in this country. Things are tough. And more people today than ever before need Christ in their lives. There are more opportunities out there than there's ever been before. And boy, if you wanted to learn Spanish, you'd find lots of them in the neighborhood. I thought about it. Learn Spanish. Probably get more Spanish people in this building than we can English-speaking people in this community. Probably that's there. I don't know if you've ever been around somewhere around one of those churches over there on Thompson Lane, or that Baptist church over there. It used to be Radnor Baptist. It's a Catholic-related Hispanic congregation, I think, now. Boy, those people got kids coming out the ears. Their families are growing by leaps and bounds. Fields are white. These people in the first century took advantage of every opportunity to do what was essential at that time. We're not a prophet like Jesus was. We're not a missionary like Paul was, because the times were different. But we still need to do what needs to be done in our corner of the world, in our circle of friends and loved ones. This morning, if you're here not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Why not come confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God? If you studied with someone, or if you studied on your own, and you've been moved as these people were moved on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and you know what you need to do. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized. Baptism is a picture of the burial of Jesus Christ. Dead to sins, we can be buried with him in baptism, coming in contact with his blood in his death that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Forgiveness of sins awaits. Salvation awaits those who obey Christ. Those who obey not will have a problem in that day. Each person will give an account of themselves. Each accountable person. If you're a Christian, you desire prayers on your behalf today, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have the opportunity to do so as we stand, as we sing the song, Selected. Shall we stand?